The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of Communication Studies, is Professor Jason Roach.
And it's always a pleasure to be here. I don't know what this new treat that just arrived in, but thank you, Prasad.
We can thank Prasad for that, for sure.
I think so. Nice bow tie, by the way, man.
You're
looking sharp.
Thanks. I will say you're welcome. That's not appropriate. Not appropriate at all. Good to see you, Jason. I'm wishing the Steelers good luck this weekend.
Me too.
I think they're going to need it.
They are.
Yeah. To your right, of course, wearing a lovely shade of purple, which reminds me of her name, Professor Heather Hill Vasquez of the Department of English.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Heather's
Hello.
Purple, right? I'm not just like making that up.
Yeah, actually.
Okay. Oh, good.
He has kind of a violet, kind of a pinkish gray. You know.
It's not violent. It's not violent at all.
Well, I'm a little stiff and sore.
Well, of course. I think many of us are.
From having been curled up in a fetal position for a few days.
Yeah, completely understand.
But that's all I'm going to say.
Why is that?
Oh, I'll breach the subject because the next person I'm going to introduce is Professor Chuck Hokett of ITS here at Detroit Mercy. And I walked into my main office Wednesday morning and I said to Jane Schley, if Donald Trump gets elected president of this country and the Tigers let Miguel Cabrera go this week,
yeah. You see, something's wrong.
I will be on Mars.
See, the Cubs won the World Series, and Verlander's going to go to Los Angeles.
Yep.
Him and Kate. And
don't get too attached to your baseball players.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. Says the person who got Rick Porcello.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching Game of Thrones.
That's right.
Yeah,
don't get too attached to your characters.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely true. Even after all these years. Across the table from me, also kind of wearing a purplish hue, is Professor Kendra Evans from Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Hello.
How was class today that I had to miss?
It was great. We ran out of time. We didn't get to do the case studies.
Oh,
but
wow.
Much was said regarding responsible conduct of research.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
We're talking about ethics.
Research
today,
ethics. Right? Yes, very ethics. Important.
Ethics, very important.
Absolutely.
Very important.
Wearing a nice hue of orange, Professor Prasad Venugopal from physics is here.
I'm wearing white pants, even though it's fall.
Oh. Are you not allowed to do that after Labor Day?
Apparently so.
Okay.
I keep hearing this.
It's light khaki. It's definitely just a light khaki.
Yeah, but it's Prasad, so he gets dirty easily. So.
You rebel.
He is a rebel. Prasad is as rebellious as we come.
We're grateful he's wearing pants.
Stone,
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Chiming in with his fashion advice, Professor Dan Maggio of the FIRST organization.
Hi, it's great
How
to
you
be
doing?
Here. I'm extra honored to be here today.
Yeah.
And I got dressed up. This is as good as it gets.
Well, it's pretty good.
It's clean.
You beat me.
Dan works from home.
You got clothes made for radio.
I do. And a face.
Right. Oh my gosh. Furiously doodling away, Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Glad to have you here, Dave.
I'm sure I could have done something better, but I'll be here for today.
You mean to dress up?
No, it's just been a long day. That's
oh, well.
Nice haircut, though.
Several.
Several haircuts.
Yes. Your ears lowered.
Your ears lowered. Oh,
yes.
There we go.
Hug the helicopter today. That's all. So.
We're really, really lucky to have a guest panelist on the show with us today. We'll call him Professor Tom Dalton of Under the Radar, Michigan.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Oh, thanks for having me, first of all. And I was kind of jealous because everybody else had professor in front of their name.
No,
so
we don't.
I stopped by to see the wizard to get a brain.
Oh.
He only had a monkey brain.
Yeah,
but,
that's all right.
But that's okay. It's still working. It's firing away. Anybody have a banana?
I think you're doing great.
It doesn't even know how to be right. You just had to profess it.
Okay. I'll think of something.
Yeah, we profess things all the time. Some of them are true and some of them not so much.
Just be authoritative when you do it.
That's what I will.
There you go.
So, folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on the Facebook. We have some very, very special Michigan trivia questions for our special show today.
I know
submitted,
the answer.
I bet you do.
Oh.
I bet you do. They're written by a mysterious person who wishes to go only by John R. Williams. There's a nice little in-joke for Detroiters all around.
Made anonymous, but he gave us his name.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we were just talking to some of the crew here, and they were blowing off all their questions. I'm like, save them for the show. And they just, you know, they threw them all out on the table and couldn't get any of them right. What if I say J.W. Westcott II?
is...
Who said
that? Yeah. And what if you did?
What if you well did? Said.
The category is trivia about the great state of Michigan.
It is... Isn't that the post office? The boat?
There's a building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't there a building?
It's a tugboat that's a post office on the Detroit River. Oh. It's the only mobile post office in the United States of America.
It sank a couple years ago, remember?
Yes, and however, it's been operating for over 125 years, so...
Do they do passport applications?
It would be real easy to take you over to Belle Isle or further if you want.
I need to get Olivia's passport renewed. And
oh, well, there you go.
I thought that might be kind of a fun trip.
More tonnage passes through the Sioux Locks in Sault Ste. Marie than both the blank and blank canals combined.
Oh, the Suez Canal and the
Panama Canal?
And
Panama Canal.
Panama. Yes.
I knew that.
No way.
More gross tonnage. Yeah, that's what
I'm
it
on
says.
The board.
Yeah.
I knew one.
Yeah.
I was going to guess the Erie Canal.
Now.
Oh, is that easy?
Yeah, I was going to say two more and you get your certificate.
Yeah. Yes, Matt, I'd like to try PhDs for 500, please.
You got it. The nation's first, as in the United States' first, regularly scheduled air flights begin operation in 1926 between what two cities?
Oh.
You don't need to raise your hand.
You can just blur it out.
Between New York and Pittsburgh.
That's not what it says here.
It's Michigan.
I'm guessing it's Michigan.
Then between Cleveland. No.
We're going Ypsilanti and...
Flint.
No,
it's gotta be Detroit.
The answer is also not Garden City and Clawson.
Oh, darn.
You're going to need to go a little deeper than that.
That's what I was going
to say. Is the Motor City one of them?
It is.
Okay. Oh. To Lansing?
Nope.
Ann Arbor.
Chicago?
Nope.
Is it in Michigan?
Yes.
Oh, Kalamazoo.
Jackson.
Michigan, Michigan. Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
That's my next one.
Grand Rapids and Detroit. First regularly scheduled air flight service.
Detroit to Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And back.
You know, and back. Yeah. Oh, no, they did bring people back.
I was going to ask that.
But... Can you imagine they left me here? It's a one-way ticket.
It's one-way ticket. Oh, you want to go back.
Indian River, Michigan is the home of the largest blank in the entire world.
Crucifix?
It is a crucifix.
Oh, nicely done. Yes. Nicely done.
Very well done. That's at the branch point of the Inland Lakes.
I drove past the signs on the I-75 North.
Yeah. Yep. Does it say, Matthew,
does it say how large it is?
It's big. I've seen it from a distance.
Yes.
It's several stories tall.
Bigger than a bread box.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's bigger than a bread
box. That helps a lot.
Several bread boxes.
It also is home, I just know this, this isn't actually on the questions, to the largest collection of dolls dressed as every single sect of nuns in the world.
How would you even know that?
Because they advertise it when you drive by. There's a big sign.
And not to mention
the nun dolls. And I'm like, no.
And Jim Tubbs, our religious studies professor.
There's nun dolls here.
It's tricky. It's tricky.
I think that's come up before on the show.
Yeah, Jim Tubbs, our religious studies professor,
right.
Mentioned
this. He knew this.
Are the dolls little rulers to scale?
That's a good question. Very good question. Yeah. Are they metric? Are they standard? You
are they yardsticks?
Only the Canadian nuns.
Were we to stretch out the Lake Superior shoreline and started it at Duluth, Minnesota, what would it connect to in the south?
South Duluth?
Which way are we going?
We're going south. We're going south.
We are going
west.
Like
west.
Straight through?
I mean, you're really close, Chuck. It says here that it would hit the middle of the Bahamas. It would hit Nassau, Bahamas. So that's a long shoreline. Wow. Very, very far. Alpena is the home of the world's largest blank plant.
Tom, it's on you.
It's pressure.
None.
Gypsum?
I mean, you're really close. Cement. Yeah,
cement. Yeah,
making cement.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cement factory.
Oh, okay. In these matters, with two chemists on the show, gypsum and cement are not the same thing.
They're close.
It's a prettier answer, though.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue better. I'll grant you that.
Right, they don't use that to make cement?
It's just not the same thing.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, also when you said plant, I'm thinking like
rutabaga.
Sorry.
They got really big tomatoes.
The world's largest artichoke.
It's the great pumpkin.
We may need Kendra for this next one. Michigan is first in the United States of America in the production of this element's compounds. It reminds me a little bit of Borat. You know, we can have a song
potassium.
About how our potassium is better than your potassium. It's all the same. But what compound, Kendra? It's a family two element, if that helps. They have families.
What does a two mean?
The second column of the periodic table.
A radioactive element in nuclear families?
You're so close.
Sodium chloride?
Go a little further north.
Oh, no. Magnesium chloride.
Magnesium, yeah, magnesium compounds.
Why? So what's that?
We mine magnesium?
Yeah, no, magnesium compounds. So that's a little, actually a little bit different.
Yeah, like gypsum.
You know? Yeah, like gypsum.
Easy question to start.
Maybe the next question will be an easy one. Let's try this question. Tom was asking for something a little bit easier. Michigan ranks first in registrations for what?
Oh, boating.
Yeah. You got one, man. Yeah. I was ready to give you a degree.
They're golf carts. Yeah.
The year is 1939, and the Packard Motor Car Company starts rolling cars off the assembly line. They were the first cars ever that had something.
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning is the correct response. The only U.S. state with a longer coastline than the great state of Michigan is
Alaska.
It's Alaska. Yeah, everybody looks at the map. Our tradition, Tom, is to look at the map of the U.S., even if it's like an international question or something like that.
If you want to know about Bolivia, we look at the map.
Yep, so. That's right.
Even if it's about baking.
Yeah, just the map.
Gypsum.
Gypsum. Magnesium.
The map.
This is something we might be able to solve mathematically, which seems to be Dan's wheelhouse. So.
Oh, no, I can't prepare for Star Trek questions, sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. I think you were barking up the wrong tree. We take a look at the great state of Michigan, and sometimes we can get down to the details, like on election night the other night. We find out it has 83 counties. 83 counties. How many of those 83 counties have a border with a Great Lake?
27.
It's higher.
47.
It's lower.
37.
41.
It's
40. I'm giving it to Chuck.
I'm afraid
it was 40.
You didn't give me so the just opportunity under
half,
on that.
Just under half
I'm
of those
counties.
I'm
still calculating. What was the answer?
I'm still counting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try this one on for size with that data in hand. Standing anywhere in the great state of Michigan, how far is the maximum amount in miles you can be from a shoreline of a great lake?
150.
It's lower.
Oh, no, no. 56 miles.
It's 75. Higher. It's, I'm giving it to you, Heather. It's 85. It's 85 miles. Yep.
Where is that place?
That is a good question.
They don't probably tell us where it is.
You know, 75 is to 85 as gypsum is to cement.
Darn it. I'm never going to live that down.
Dr. Prasad is a very tough grader.
I love it. I love it. In 1959, the Michigan State Police were the first to establish something that the police use to this very day. What is
dogs.
That?
Radar. Dogs.
Stop and frisk?
Not radar, not dogs, not stop and frisk.
The baton.
Attack chickens.
No.
They didn't?
Donuts?
They established.
No. It was donuts.
May I?
Something the police use exclusively, especially when they're on duty.
Horses.
Not horses.
Cameras.
No, radios? Not cameras.
Walkie-talkies.
Radios. Police radio.
Police radio.
Oh, police band
it was
radio.
That late 59, really?
It says, yeah, I'm sorry. I have really bad eyesight.
I was going to say.
1929.
Oh, my God. Oh, you see, it's almost 1960. You're like, what are these strange things with knobs?
Prompting,
what are you talking, dude? You can hear me.
1929 is to 1959. Gypsum is to cement.
I knew you were going to say
that. Now he's never going to let you live that down.
Right on questions? Because your eyesight's bad.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there are 3,000 counties in Michigan.
Okay, send in your next questions in Braille, please.
Yes, please. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to look good for the cameras.
Super large font.
Which is greater, the total square mileage and the surface area of the state of Michigan or the total square mileage of the surface area of the Great Lakes?
Oh, Great Lakes.
Great Lakes.
That is incorrect.
Huh?
Michigan is over, just short of 57,000 square miles, and the Great Lakes cover only just under 40,000
square miles. All five Great Lakes.
All five Great Lakes.
Oh, excuse me, let me look at the map.
It's not the scale.
Yeah, maybe it's because of the distortion.
The Mercator
of the
globe. Projection.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the gypsum does it to you.
professors and your smartness.
I like the color of the map. So.
Yeah, there's lots of color.
We'll send John R. Williams a prize. We got pretty much all of those right because that's the way we grade.
Unless you're Dr. Prasad.
He's very precise. Partial credit, maybe.
Maybe.
Months ago, I'm not sure if you recall, but someone had mentioned a call out to the listening audience to provide questions regarding, and I know I say it weird, we're just going to go with it, bulbs, okay? I've taken a few moments and come up with 10 questions on the topic for the show. Enjoy, and as always, more Miss Wishes from Valencia, California, Frank Burroughs. So this is Professor Hill Vasquez, and over 700 plants you planted last season?
Bulbs.
Yes. What's 700.
What's a bulb?
Bulb. Bulb.
Yes.
Bulb.
Yep.
Bulb. Bulb.
It's not my Mjunki.
I think we're going to need a physicist in a moment.
Uh-oh.
With incandescent light bulbs, what percentage of energy is actually converted to visible light?
Oh, God, it's a very tiny number.
It's a very tiny number.
It's like 4%.
It's 5%. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, very well done.
I mean, well compared done. To gypsum and that's cement, awesome. That's really close.
I'm guessing that you're going to be able to do pretty well with this one then, too.
The other 95%.
The other 95% is converted to
heat.
Heat, yes.
Oh, okay.
Very well done. You hence sort of did a build-up.
Hence the phrase, more heat than light.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
What phrase? Hmm. Yeah.
The one I just uttered.
He just made that up.
That phrase that I just said.
That you just made up.
Right. Yes.
In what year did the toy company Kenner produce the first incandescent light bulb-powered Easy Bake Oven?
1952.
72.
61. No, 1947.
39.
And a half.
It was 59, not 39. No, it was 1963. And, you know, if we add all those numbers together and average them, we're really close.
Chuck was close.
Chuck was 61.
That's accurate, but not precise.
Accurate, but not precise. Yes, exactly.
Close, but no cigar.
In the first version of the Easy Bake Oven, what was the light bulb configuration?
What? Round?
What did you need to make it hot?
Electricity?
Yeah.
Battery?
Yes.
No, the light bulb made it
in
hot.
Terms of the light bulbs, like what wattage were they?
Oh, 60 watt.
40 watt.
Says here there were two 100 watt light bulbs.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's totally efficient.
Well, it is more efficient at providing heat than light.
That is true.
I'm guessing there were a lot of fries.
You could do thin crust pizza with that.
No kidding.
So you couldn't see what you were cooking.
My sister had one, and I burned myself on it many, many times because, as I say to the students in the lab, hot glassware looks the same as room temperature glassware.
Yes.
Be careful what you touch.
Especially if your sight is not 100%.
Well, you already knew that. How did Thomas Edison use the Sprengel pump with regards to his inventing of the modern electric light bulb?
What's a
Sprengel
pump? Vacuum out, create a vacuum inside the...
It was a vacuum pump.
It's a vacuum pump.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha. So
he used it to create a vacuum.
Gotcha. Yeah, correct.
There you go.
100%. Awesome.
Thank you. I believe I learned that at Greenfield Village.
These are the wrong kind of bulbs.
I know. I'm sorry.
Oh. Yeah, we can't plant these in your garden, Heather.
Well, you could, but they won't grow.
Well, we didn't specify. Oh. Maybe we should do that next time.
Yes, we really need questions about plants.
No, we don't. It's okay.
We don't need questions about plants.
Or we do.
Excellent.
I don't know.
In what country were tungsten light bulbs invented?
Germany.
It wasn't Germany, but it was close by.
Russia? Austria.
Switzerland. South America.
I am staring.
Germany. Austria.
I'm staring at these donuts right now.
Russia.
And I'm getting a little bit.
Antarctica.
The Holland.
I tried. I said I'm staring at the donuts, and I'm feeling quite
hungry.
You ate up the second half of your question. Of your comment.
Donuts.
So we went for Dutch.
Is there nothing they can't do?
What was originally commonly used as a cheap filament for light bulbs?
String?
Not string, but it was a plant material.
Onions.
Hemp?
Carbon?
Nope.
Gypsum?
Nope. No.
Whistle pigs.
It was cotton.
It was not whistle pigs either.
Oh. Was it cotton?
Not cotton?
No, it was a very, very common, easily sustainable plant.
Easily sustainable.
Not hemp, but close.
Darn it. Medical marijuana.
Corn.
Easily.
Super sustainable.
Dandelions?
super sustainable?
Like people like to make their floors and their houses out of it now.
Bamboo
is what it was.
Really?
Yeah, it was bamboo.
Wow.
And again, we count that as correct.
It is.
That was correct, man.
If you haven't figured it out yet, we're always right.
If you have enough
to say, even when he gives us the answer.
If you give it enough guesses and enough clues.
Oh,
those
my
aren't
gosh.
Clues. Those are... teacher's age.
Well, a number of people did get the right answer because half the people here said bamboo. And it's like,
all at once, What contribution did a man named Marvin Pipkin add to modern-day light bulbs?
The little screw at the bottom.
Not the little screw.
The big screw at the bottom.
It's kind of be around an around-the-corner kind of clue, but he would probably have this in common with cupcakes.
Sugar?
The little packaging that they came in.
No.
Cupcakes.
Oh, what was the name again?
He frosted them?
Marvin Pipkin, he frosted the inside of the light bulb to diffuse the light.
Go.
Yeah, very well done. Very, very
I'm on
well
the board.
Done.
You yeah keep this up. You're coming back.
I looked at the map.
we always do. Oh,
man. That's great.
It's got magical powers.
We worship great that map.
While we're continuing to consider life, the universe, and everything, we'll take a break.
We'll take a donut break. Eat.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have almost all the regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Wow. That's the first variation in decades, yeah. I think.
Oh, no, I've been working up to it.
Okay, know all right.
First the mustache, then pleasure to be here. What's next?
Yes. And on
as
his,
always, as always.
On his right, the woman he can't keep his hands off, the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
What can I say to follow that up?
I don't know.
Hello.
Say it was okay.
Yeah.
There are people out there waiting to hear.
Was it good for you?
And on Claire's right, from the Department of History,
I don't know any of you.
Professor Sarah Gravel. And on Sarah's right, from the Department of English, also Professor Hugh Kulig.
Well, I will just say hello and leave it at that.
I think that's the wisest
you've done
thing
enough damage. It was because of you that we were whispering.
Oh.
These were quotations, and you were to guess who said them. Who said, "Never lend your car to anyone to whom you have given birth"?
Irma Bombeck.
Yes, Irma Bombeck, exactly. Philip yep Roth is a good writer, but I wouldn't want to shake hands with him. Who said that?
Somebody after Portnoy's yes complaint.
Exactly. And who was it? It was a woman.
Figures it would be a woman.
A writer. A writer of schlock, basically, now deceased.
In fact, oh, one Jack of
her
novels.
Yes, I was going to say one of her novels just was just reproduced by a computer or a new novel. Was,
oh, somebody's writing in the style of. Yeah, you can call just, it style.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, she's not known to have shaken hands with anybody.
No.
We are back with some great questions for Frank Burrows of Valencia, California, longtime question writer. But first time writing about bulbs.
Bulbs.
We had one more question to go. What are the five most common gases that light bulbs are sealed with?
Carbon.
Argon.
Argon is one of them. Carbon is not.
Well, aren't they basically inert gases?
Some of them.
Neon.
Neon. Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. Argon.
Neon. Sodium.
Yeah, no. What else?
Sodium is a solid.
Oh, okay.
Xenon.
Xenon. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like chicken bouillon?
That sounds like xenon.
Bouillon.
Probably not radon.
No.
Not radon.
Break that bulb and we all die.
Americium?
What about if I say Superman?
Krypton?
Mm-hmm.
Did I?
Krypton is correct.
Oh, I'm sure it's not hydrogen.
Hydrogen is actually one of them. That's very
it is?
Yes, it is. It is.
Doesn't it blow up?
It can.
Okay, treated
a
I'll be getting buying some of those.
Is that you guys important? Did. You guys did fine. Yep, you got them all.
Yay.
Well done. Hello? Anybody?
Anybody?
It's not mine. It's on here.
That's right. All right. We're moving on to another set of questions here. Below is a list of 20 questions culled. I love that word. From some fun facts I run across during a local trivia night. I like to think they're fun and thought-provoking for the profs. I don't know when they'll get read. How about 1, 2, 3 now? But I hope they'll make it into a future episode of The Fine Show. Regards and Viva Las Vegas, Michelle Horner of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Michelle.
Thank you for sending in the questions, Michelle. You always send in a real awesome set of questions. What was the name of the bear on the TV series The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams?
Oh,
Ben. After Ben Franklin.
Yeah, it was Ben. That's exactly what it says.
I was
going
to say, but I wanted to give somebody else a chance.
Yeah.
For the record, the bear had that was his stage name.
Bozo.
He had a real name that was Bozo.
Because really? I remember the
how
they
do you
had
know this?
A, that guy's known for training bears.
Okay.
Yeah, he's, you know,
Bozo?
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Okay. He trains a bunch of other animals too.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's just one of them.
What a horrible name for a bear.
Bozo the bear.
I don't think,
I don't like
Brownie
it.
Brownie or
Winnie the Pooh or something like
or
that.
Harry.
Yeah, but Cupcake. When he's like 9 feet tall, I don't think you have a choice.
Wait, so. You don't mind if it's Bozo the clown? You just have a problem if it's Bozo the bear?
Yeah, because I associate Bozo with a clown. Oh. And I don't want to tell a bear that he's named after a clown.
I think the bear is going to understand. Yeah. In case you're wondering.
Unless they're walking on two legs, which is starting to happen a lot often. I got to tell you that right
but
now.
But the clown?
No, the bears, man.
The bears.
The Bigfoot sightings.
Attack of the Killer Bear Clown. It's
like, what? They prefer to be called clown bears. Which fast food chain once had a sandwich on the menu called the Whaler?
Oh, Burger King.
It was Burger King.
Yeah, yes.
I didn't eat it, but I know that.
So he says.
What was in the Whaler?
No, it did.
A whale.
Fish. I'm guessing it was fish.
We hope. Yeah. Or hydrogen.
Okay. It's kind of ancient times, but I did grow up in the 80s, and I had a buddy who loved those Whaler sandwiches.
He referred to it. Sauce.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm.
He referred to it as the isosceles fish sandwich.
Did it come with pink slime, too?
No.
That's just McDonald's?
It's just sort of off-color slime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What is America's second smallest state by surface area?
Oh,
Delaware?
Delaware. How do you guys know this off the top of your head?
We were looking at the map. It's right there on the wall.
How many electoral votes does Delaware... No.
Don't go there.
Too soon.
Yeah.
It's interesting when you actually look at the distribution. You know, Michigan is down one vote. We had to give that to somebody. I feel like, you know, the Constitution could provide for us to invade a state or two and take some votes back. I mean, why not give it a try, you know?
Can we bring Toledo back?
We could probably do it. That'd be great.
Invade them? I mean, charge!
This is definitely coffee shop trivia time. What was the last U.S. state to allow right turn on red?
The last state?
The last state to allow right turn on red.
Florida.
Who was the holdout, you're saying?
Yeah, who's the holdout?
Nevada?
No, it was out east.
New Hampshire?
Nope.
New York?
Live free or die?
Nope.
Maine. One of the Carolinas?
No.
Vermont?
Massachusetts?
Very close to D.C.
Maryland?
Maryland.
It was Maryland, is what it says here. So what's up with that?
Why would they hold out?
I don't know.
See, eventually we do get the right answer.
Just to be
exactly. Have to keep yelling stuff out.
Absolutely.
Don't give away our secrets.
There is no Regis Philbin here. Final answer?
See, the trick is when we actually air the show, we edit out all the first guesses, and it sounds like
we just all blurt out the plot. They all know it every time.
You guys are smart.
It's like 40 solid minutes of correct responses.
Bing.
I feel at home. I totally believe this.
So you're going to look really smart.
Yeah. I don't know. That's
well, on the other side.
He
of,
would have if he hadn't said gypsum.
Darn it. That just seemed like a thing to say.
Oh, my. Oh, we are out of time, guys. We are out of time. It's time has come to say goodbye, Professor Roach.
See you later.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Adios.
Professor Hokett.
Hi.
Professor Evans.
Take care.
Professor Venugopal.
Cement.
Professor Maggio.
Ciao.
Professor Chow.
Maggio.
And Professor Dalton.
I love gypsum.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.